Okay, you know what?
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shmiras HaLashon class learning. It is Yom Aleph Shel Chanukah, a very lichtig time and a kadosh time and a lot of power in this time. So the Ribbono Shel Olam should help us to access the kedusha of these days as we really strive to better ourselves and continue in our path of avodas Hashem and harbatza of Shmiras HaLashon. Tril al hadibur, Ribbono Shel Olam, yiratzum fenech al rachum v'chanan shetesekeni ha'im v'chol yom nishmar pi ulishanim yulashen haru v'chilis v'ezarim l'dabar fil al ish yachi v'kol shekena kaiso o achelek mehem v'kol shekena m'hisra'im al midosav shal kol shbarchu v'ezarim l'dabar divrei sheker chanufa m'chol ka'as gaiva onanus tvarim halbanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur asur v'zekeni shal l'dabar kim dabar hatzarich l'inani gufi v'nafshi v'yukol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amen eschus for Analia Nashama for Tzvi Gersha Ben Yoav Achana Alav Hashem Nashama Shehav Analia in the merit of our Torah learning and with your permission as Chus Refua for Brachavi Gaya Basrachel Bitha for Arichus Yamim and Shanim in good health. So we actually finished Perek Yod last time, if you recall. However, I didn't get to say one nakuda that I wanted at the end of Avos. I made a note for myself. I wanted to share something very interesting from the Sfas Emes. I wanted to tell you something cute that someone who listens online to the Shir reached out to me after last class. If I could find it quickly, I'm going to actually quote her. She reached out to me last time and she said, here we go. A good Erev Shabbos. I just listened to the Shiran Shmiras HaLashon. You will appreciate that when I was a child, I heard that we only get a limited number of words to speak. You asked last time, I told you where the source was. A person has a certain amount of words, and therefore not using your words is a zchus for Arichos Yamim. I went into a panic. She was a child. And I came home. I told my father, I'm not talking anymore. It's because I don't want to die. Typical to my father, he made everything better. He said, don't you think, and this is a chizik for me, and you mentioned it also, you said, I can't work on not talking extra. I have to work on just not talking diburim asurim. I should work on extra. So her father said to her, don't you think Hashem knows how many words each person needs? He probably gave you more words to say because he made you a talkative person. I felt instantly better and I resumed talking. It was a perfect response to a terrified child who thought she was going to die the next week from using up all her words. I thought it was a big chizak. I thought it was smart because last time we quoted from the Sfas Emes, a person has a certain amount of words to use in this world, and once they use up this world, those words, their task in this world is finished. It's a frightening thought. Does that mean every superfluous thing I say, instead of saying only good morning, does that mean good morning, how are you? Or good morning, it's cold outside, so it's cold outside. So there's extra 4 words, so now I'm 4 words closer to Yom HaMisa. However, she did say that. Being said, it's a very important point, something that we should all be mindful of. So I thought it was an interesting nakuda, and her father gave her a chizuk when she was a child that stuck with her, and it was a chizuk for us. You're talking to a person, like Alisa said, first after work, when I'm saying diburim asurim, I can't think about that extra speech. So I wanted to share that. So last time we concluded with the Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. There was this piece that I did not get to quote, so I made a note to myself that I wanted to start here. This time, the Mishnah that we were quoting, the Shimo Bino Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Bein HaChachamim, all my days I grew up amongst the wise, V'lo Matzati L'guf Tov El Ashtika, I found nothing better for the body than silence, bless you, V'lo HaMidrash Hu HaIkar El HaMaisa, learning, it's very nice to come and learn, but the Midrash, the learning is not the Ikar, rather the Maisa, V'chol HaMar B'Dvarim Mei Bichet, and everyone who increases words brings sin. So we did quote a little bit last time from the Sfas Emes. There was one thing I did not get to quote, which is how I will begin this year. Okay, so the respective rules of the body and the soul. The body is the vehicle for speech or silence, and the soul is spiritual leadership, and that is the time of Chanukah, was the battle of the neshama, spiritual leadership, are indicated in a beautiful comment of Chazal regarding the divine service in the Beis HaMikdash. The wine, the source of material pleasure, when you think of wine, the purpose of wine is material pleasure, symbolizes the body. So wine equals gashmias, equals the guf. Incense, the ketores, which is inhaled but is not consumed, symbolizes the soul. So you have two different avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. Wine was part of service. Wine equals gashmi guf. Ketores, excuse me, mixture of incense spices, represents the neshama. How appropriate, interestingly, that the Gemara tells us in Menachos that wine, which was used for libations, the poured wine offerings, was prepared in an atmosphere of silence, while incense was formulated while the spice maker spoke. In other words, it was the opposite environment. Wine represents guf, gashmi, speech. It was prepared in silence. Did I say it right? Just want to make sure. Yes, but the incense, which represents the Ketores, the mysterious, the ununderstandable, the smoke that rises up from the golden Mizbeach, represents the Neshama, was prepared in an atmosphere of speech. And perhaps we learn from here, I don't know, I'm going to quote the Sazemus in a minute, but I think that we learn something important from here, that there's no absolute, definitive, clear-cut lines. There's a time for silence in this world, and there is a time for speech. If wine was only for speech, it would be prepared in an atmosphere of speech. And if Ketores would only represent silence, it would be prepared in an atmosphere of silence. But the fact that Chazal tell us wine symbolizes speech prepared in silence teaches you that every vehicle can be used for Tova and not for Tova. You have to know when to apply. In this light, says, going back to Sfas Emes, we can better appreciate a rather difficult Chazal and perhaps gain insight into how wisdom can be acquired. Chazal tells in Maseches Yuma, wine and spice lead to wisdom. Why is that interesting? Because wine represents speech. And incense, Ketores, represents silence, the neshama. The vehicle that speaks is the lips. So isn't that interesting? The Gemara says in Yuma 76a, wine and spices lead to wisdom. So what does that teach you before we go any further? There is great wisdom to be acquired through the capacity and power of
speech.
Ah, this may refer to different methods of acquiring wisdom. Sometimes we silence the body. Sometimes we uplift the soul. Well, we should always be uplifting the soul. Sometimes we silence the body. Sometimes we give the body a voice. But there are both ways. Wine and spices lead to wisdom. So it's a little bit to balance out, perhaps, the... I don't want to say extremism. That's not correct. Because we do have to count and measure our words. And we do have to be sure that we are not idle prattle and idle chatter. Don't be a tear. I don't want to be machirchi. Do you happen to have this week's copy of Mishpacha very accessible?
So.
With the New Jersey on the
daily
cover?
Or
no, the regular one. I made a bracha before I turned on the recorder. I took a drink before. Last time we said, I was working on it. I'm still trying to work on it. It's very, very hard. Not speaking extra. It's very, very, very hard. I can't say that I'm more often than not successful. I'm not talking about Lashon Hara. I'm not talking about forbidden speech. I'm just talking about extra words. More often, I am not successful, but still sometimes... Oh, thank you so much. So there was a great quote in here. I don't know if you know, at the top of Rabbi Eitan Kobri's article every week, there's like a little Chassidus of art. So listen to this week's. Silence without content is also good. Speech without content is always mere chatter. Silence without content, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Varka, silence without content is also good. Speech without content is always mere idle chatter. It is also noteworthy that the rules of wine and incense in the Beis HaMikdash were reversed once the preparatory phrase had been completed. At that point, wine, which was prepared in silence, was poured alongside the altar amidst loud singing and loud and joyous singing of the Levium. So wine represents the guf. However, it was prepared in an atmosphere of silence, but when it was actually applied, there was joyous singing, verbalization. On the other hand, the incense, especially during the Yom Kippur Avodah, which represents the Neshama, which was prepared in an atmosphere of speech, when it was offered in total silence and seclusion of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This role reversal contains a compelling message. The material side of man need not be dormant. Material side, the Gashmis side of man, does not have to be absolutely dormant as represented in the wine. Wine is Gashmis. It was prepared in silence, but when it's applied, it was applied with joyous song. It has to be properly channeled. So our speech doesn't have to be absolutely dormant. It doesn't mean that we should stop talking. That's not what Hashem wants for us. It has to be properly channeled and successfully restrained. The soul, on the other hand, the source of our heartfelt prayers, our profound Torah thoughts, is stimulated to grow in its present form. It's encased in the body, so the soul, represented in the Ketores, represents silence. But it was prepared in an atmosphere of speech, but when it was applied in an atmosphere of silence. So you see that it's like a Venn diagram. There is overlap here. Should a person always be silent? No. Should a person always be speaking? No, absolutely not. So I thought it was very beautiful and very, very interesting. Okay, with that, we are ready for... is that clear? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we are ready for Perek Yud Aleph, please. Oh, so what page are we on? 152. Hamema ate his chabus im anashim. So you might think this means to be antisocial, but it means you should be mema'et hischabus imanashim. You should diminish your friendships with other people, hischabut, like from chaver, your connection, your minimize socialization is the English translation. Rochesh zmanim lilmud Torah, because what will happen if you free up yourself from too much socialization, you will find all of a sudden you have more time to learn Torah. All this time that you thought was so busy was really busy with perhaps things that weren't so important. Socializing with people, as you'll see here, who are not of the finest quality, who perhaps bring you down, not bring you up, and all of a sudden you have time to learn Torah. V'talmudo na'ala. And your learning will be, you'll have an aliyah of your learning, because all of a sudden you will not be distracted from the pettiness of man. Hinei kvar be'arnu. We have already clarified. Shaka asher yisponin ha'adam. When a person pays attention, shetis kayem et sochoves hashmira. So I think that everyone who is involved in this chabura should be a tremendous chus, not only for your father's neshama, but really for all of us. So at least we'll be able to tell their bon shama may resim shama. We tried. Hashem, I really tried. Remember what it was in the Kohani Malchus biography of Lala Sham, she writes. I forget who she quotes. It may have been the Varka Rebbe, actually. But they just quoted the Varka Rebbe. That Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. A person is born with an innate personality. Some of us are more talkative. Some of us are more jealous. Some of us are more angry. Some of us are more silent. Sometimes it's not good to be too silent. Sometimes you need to come out of your shell. All of us are born with an innate personality. Some of us are represented by Yai, and some of us are represented by the Ketores. At least you have to ask Hashem to help me to change. So I think, at least we'll be able to say the Beis Din Shamala, I hope it should be a merit. At least we tried. So I think that for the people here, Kasher Yisponin Ha'adam, Shetis Kayemet Sochovas Hashmira, I think we've all established that Chovas Hashmira is of paramount importance. Tzarich Lema'et Ha'Hischabrus Imanashim. What emerges is that you have to diminish your friendship or your socialization with the masses. Why? Because what will happen? The more you're with the masses, the more there's going to be idle chatter and idle prater. And Kol HaMarbe Dvarim Mevi Chet. As the Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Varka used to say, I'm going to repeat it one more time, such a great line, if I could just find it. Oh, it's not Eitan Kobi's article that always has the clip on top. I quoted that incorrectly. I just want to make sure I'm saying it right. Rabbi Moshe Dryak. Silence without content is also good, but speech without content is always mere chatter. And sometimes when there's so many people together, the speech definitely ends up being without content. Okay. Tzarich lema'ay. Okay. Umimela yisharu lo bayam harbishos pinuyos at pinuyos. You will find that you have so much free time all of a sudden. Wow. All this time is going to waste. And I have so much free time, and I have to tell you, sometimes we come, not sometimes, very often we come back to the dangers of speech with technology. We spoke about last time that Rabbi, attorney Braffman said you could throw your computer into the bottom of the ocean and smash it, and we'll still be able to get back what you said. But today, minimizing socialization with other people is more the need to minimize the amount of time we spend on social networking and less the amount of time we actually spend meeting physically with people. Because the truth is, we don't have so much time to meet physically with people, but so much opportunity. Aside from Shabbos, when you go to shul, which if you recall, the Vilna Gaon advised his wife not to go to shul on Shabbos because it was a dangerous time, he quoted from Avraham Pirkei Avos, when people would mingle and inevitably talk Lashon Hara. However, you can never get away. It's so funny. I'm not on it, but Facebook, it's called Friends. It's so interesting. It's the idea that you amass more and more friends. And Yeshiva Darchei Torah sends out different videos on technology, on minimizing the impact of technology. And the last one was sent out by Rav Elia Brodny Shlita. And he quoted a statistic, it wasn't Jewish, it was scientists. He said that people spend a minimum on average of 4 hours a day on their devices. 4 hours a day. Now imagine. Now, some of the time we're doing productive things, okay? Like on the way here, I have texted my son's rabbi, I need to speak to my son, and my son called me. And okay, so obviously sometimes it's productive. So that's counted in your screen time if you would check at the end of the day or the end of the week. So that's counted. Sometimes you're doing something productive, and we all have to ask ourselves sometimes, what are we actually doing on our phones? I'm talking to myself. I am as guilty as the next person. And sometimes I think to myself, like if I'm waiting in a doctor's office, excuse me, and, you know, 90% of the people on the phones, I think they said, what did we used to do before? I don't even, what did we used to do? And we sat there, what did we do? You read a newspaper, maybe?
A magazine, or I bring it to Helen.
A magazine, you did something. We did something before. The instinct now is, the minute you have a spare moment without nothing to do, the instinct is to automatically, what? Pull out our device, and it's human nature. Everywhere you go, you see it. When I see it, I remind myself, Hashem wants me to see it. That's because it's me. I'm not seeing other people. I'm really seeing Hamayim Hapanim Lapanim. Kain Leva Adam Adam. Whatever Hashem wants you to see, you see, because it's a reflection of your own self. And I think to myself, what did we do before? I'm not talking about the important, when I have to text my pediatrician, when you have to go to the bank online, and when you have to send an important email, when you're certainly listening to Shir, when you're using Waze, and if you're catching up with your mother, okay, I'm not talking about that. But the reality is that so much of our time is Hischabrus im Anashim, and we find that all of a sudden you don't have time for Shkia. How did I not have Mincho? Or how did I not fulfill my, you know, quota of Tehillim today? And it's something that it's very hard that I struggle with, and something that I try and work on very, very much, because Kadei Shelo Yele Chazman Levatala. Because what happens is that we find that, you know, I don't have time for sure, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for that. Why don't you have time? And then check the screen time at the end of the day. You know, iPhone tells you how much screen time you use, and sometimes it's horrifying. Man no mar man and daber. Kadei Shelo Yele Chazman Levatala. Yes.
Yeah, but when you were saying about how our socialization, that you should cut it, I find, because of the iPhone now, there are WhatsApps, Tehillim WhatsApps, and Chizuk WhatsApps, and all, and you could be busy all day with that, which is Shiurim and Tehillim for
so
this
I
one.
So I said, I'm not talking about the productive time.
But I'm saying that's so much better than meeting a friend for an hour, but then again, then you miss your friends.
I said.
It's a very hard.
But I said, I'm not talking about the productive time. I said that.
I know.
Okay, I'm not talking about that. V'chein isa b'medrash, and so you should look in the medrash and in Masechet Avodah Zarah Yirchas al pasuk. So the pasuk tells us in Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach, the famous pasuk with which David HaMelech begins Tehillim, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach b'tzas rishaim uvederech chataim lo amad v'moshev leitzim lo yashav. I'm not quoting from the Sefer, I'm quoting from the beginning of Tehillim. Okay? What David HaMelech says is, fortunate is the man who does not walk in the ways of the wicked, atzas rishaim, ubedarach chataim lo amad, he doesn't stand with the sinners. So listen, you don't walk with the wicked, you don't stand with the sinners, uvamoshav leitzim lo yashav, you don't sit with the leitzim, the scoffers. It's very interesting. You would think, what should come first? Rishaim comes first, then chataim, and then leitzim. What do you think should come first? Leitzim is the worst category? That's the worst, right? Leitzim comes after rishaim and chataim. I mean, the person's a jokester, but is that really so derogatory, so negative, so dangerous to be a leitz? And Rashi says on this pasuk, Ashrei Shelo Lo Halach, if you walk, you will end up standing with them. And if you stand with them, you end up sitting with them. First you take a stroll, then you end up schmoozing on the street corner. And then finally they say, sit down, you're like a ben bayis here. Ashrei, fortunate is he, Ashrei Lo Halach, who does not walk with the advice of the Rishayim, ubedarech chataim lo amad, who doesn't stand in the ways of the sinners, and he does not sit with the scoffers, because his desire is in Torah. And in Torah, he concentrates and contemplates, meditates by day and night. He is like a tree on the river that his roots are very strong. So Rav Sham Cherfal Hirsch says in his commentary to Tehillim, Epistle 1:1, uvamoshav leitzim lo yashav, no person, least of all one faithful to his duty, listen, no person can avoid having contact with theoretical enemies and scorners of moral law in daily life and in the course of business activity. It's very realistic. You're going to meet people who do not necessarily represent the path of Torah mitzvahs. He says, it is impossible to avoid having all contact with enemies and scorners of the moral law. When he talks about moral law, law with a capital L, he means Torah in daily life, and in the course of business activity. Not everybody you meet in the world is going to be so yashar. The duties of life can be fulfilled only in communion with others. So it goes back to the time of speech and the time of silence, like the incense and the wine. There are times to minimize socialization, and there are times when you absolutely have no choice, because the duties of life can only be fulfilled in communion with others. No one can choose for himself the environment in which he will move. I think that's interesting because I think we can choose to a certain degree the environment in which we will move, but sometimes we can't. This environment is often arbitrarily given to each of us. You come to situations in life that you necessarily did not choose. Arbitrarily, meaning from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you find yourself in such a matzav, even though you didn't choose it. It is this very interaction with people of varying mental attitudes. It doesn't say mental abilities, it's mental attitudes. You interact with people with varying mental attitudes. That the duty-conscious person, if you're duty-conscious, you must prove your God-oriented principles. You're going to inevitably meet people who are Rasha'im or Chata'im or Litzim. It is during that interaction that the God-oriented man, duty-conscious person, must prove his principles through a zeal that should not be diverted or confused. After all, it is not in the hours of business and daily work, but during leisure hours devoted to discussion and conversation, that the sophistry, like sophistication, of the late unfolds its art. It's not during, says Rav Hirsch, the hours of business and daily work. When people are focused on their work, today, I don't know, everything happens all the time, but hardworking people, like Yaakov Avinu says to them at the well, why are you, you know, just hanging around the well? Why are you just hanging around the well? The day is still young, you should be working. So Rav Shem Shafal Her says, the scoffer does not emerge during business hours when a person is, you know, intent on getting the task done. It is during leisure hours, when you chop a schmooze, when you're having a chill, when you're congregating outside. So it's not in shul, hopefully, that people are being lazy. But the Vilna Gaon said it's when? After. During leisure hours devoted to discussion and conversation, that the sophistication of the late unfolds its art. It is so confusing to logic. It is so detrimental to morals. It is not practiced, like he says, while standing or walking. That's why it says, Asher Yishosho lo halach v'moshav lo halach v'tzasu shayim v'derchatim lo amad. He says, because when a person is walking or standing, that's not when you're late. When are you late? Well, you're sitting. It's true. We were just sitting around. Walking and standing indicates you're doing something, says Rav Hirsch. Sitting, you're just sitting. Anyone can avoid the moshav, the seat of the late. Anyone can decide for himself how to use his leisure time. When we're busy, so we're busy. The question is, what do we do when we're not busy? It's a question that we should ask all of us. I have to ask myself. When I'm not busy, when I'm not cooking, when I'm not doing laundry, when I'm not giving shiur, when I'm not, I don't know, shopping, when you're not busy, what do you do in your spare time?
A woman's work is never done. We are always busy.
We have leisure time sometimes.
And during
the question is, what do we do during our leisure time? During our leisure time, even if it's 5 minutes, what do you do during 5 minutes? It could be, you know, you close your eyes and you take a cat nap, no pun is intended. Okay, so good, so you're having some koach, but what am I actually doing? During our leisure time, we belong to ourselves and to those who share our views and attitudes on basic matters. When you find you're not busy, what do you do then, and who do you associate with then? That's what Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch says. So let's go back. Al ha-pasuk, Asher Yishosho shelo halach, v'chi me'achar shelo halach lo amad, v'lo yashav. Once he doesn't walk with them, he won't stand with them, he won't sit with them. Yachal lo yaseh tova v'lo ra, elo yasim yad lapeh. So is it possible he won't do bad, he won't do good? So I had to look in the English translation. What does that mean? Yasim yad lapeh. It means literally what it says. He should put his hand over his mouth. Oh, that's what it means. You don't go like this. Talmud Lomer Kim B'Torah Hashem Chefso. So the next pasuk in the capital is in God's Torah he desires. Umasha Amar Ki Im B'Torah Hashem Chefso. V'lo Amar Uveso Ras Hashem Chefso. You understand? Why does it say Ki Im B'Torah Hashem Chefso? Why does it just say B'Torah Hashem Chefso in God's Torah he desires? Lahoros Lanu, to teach us. Sha'al Yachashof Adam V'Yitano Yitzo. A person should not think. Panizei Tzohar should not persuade him. Emes, the truth is, tzaricha adam lizaher. A person has to be on guard. Shelo yaase keva im halitim. You should not make a kvius, a permanency with scoffers. Vilios moshavo imahem, and you should make sure that your dwelling place is not with the scoffers. So Rashi tells us two bereishis chav aleph tes when Yitzchak is born. Rashi tells us chav aleph tes. Okay, so Sarah and Avram have a child very late in life. Vatomer Sarah, and interestingly, Sarah says, "Tzchok asali Elokim kol shamei yitzachakli." God made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh for me. So you see that once again, it's not so clear cut. There's a time for appropriate laughter, and there's a time for negative laughter, just like a time for speech, wine, and a time for science, ketores. So too with laughter. Vatomer, okay, who would have believed that Mimi Lela Avram he Nika Banim Sarah? Who would have believed to Avram that Sarah would nurse children? Ki Oladati Ben Liskunav, I gave birth in his old age, and the boy grew up, and he was weaned, and Avram made a big mishdah on the day that Yitzchak was weaned. Let me just see something, yeah. Vateri Sarah Esben Hagar Hamitzvisa Shayada Avram Mitzachik. Okay, so now you have a different instance of Mitzachik. When Sarah laughed, it was thank you Hashem. There was a positive laughter. And Targum Onkelos translates as chadva avad li Hashem chadva gida rina ditzu v'chadva. When she says chok asali tzechok with a tzadi asali elokim kol shame yitzach. Okay, so Targum Onkelos says this is chadva, which is a type of joy. It's a healthy laughter. And Rashi says they're so beautifully that when it means yismach alai will rejoice over me. And the Medrash says many akaros were answered with her. Many cholim were healed on that day. Many tefillos were answered. So Sarah's tzchok was positive. But then you come to Vateri Sarah's ben Hagar mitzus asher yaldah Avram mitzachek. What was he doing? Mitzachek here is translated as mocking, not chadva. And how does Unkos translate it? Mechayich. What is that? How do you say smile in Hebrew? Chiyuch, okay? Mechayich, Aramaic, but so interesting. This does not indicate any deep level of joy and gratitude. It simply indicates an external display of smiling. And here this is negative connotation. So Rashi says mitzachek. What is mitzachek? First of all, it's translated into by English as arts goes mocking. Lashon avodazara, lashon gilu arayos, and lashon ritzicha. So you have here a connotation of all three sins. Gilui Arayos, Rashi brings a pasuk, how you know each one. Gilui Arayos, inappropriate immoral behavior. Avodah Zarah. And finally, Ritzicha, murder. He would contend with Yitzchak over the Yerusha, and he would say, I am the firstborn, I get Pishnaim. They would go out to the field, he would shoot arrows at Yitzchak. But what you see is that he would shoot arrows at Yitzchak. It all started by how? Mitzachek. And Onkelos does not say it's chadva, it's a deep joy to Hashem. It's rather mechayich. It is merely plastering a smile on the face. It's not a smile of positivity. It is a smile of negativity. The very, very opposite is a smile of mockery. One second. Okay. So, interestingly, my son Shmuel told me a story in the name of Rabbi Lan. Rabbi Lan is the menahal of the 8th grade in Darche. There was a boy who learned in MTJ, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal's yeshiva, and he was also a very funny boy. He had a good sense of humor, and they told him, you know, there's a comedy, what's it called, the comedy club. There's a comedy club nearby, and you can, you know, maybe you can get a job there. So he started to get a job there on the weeknights. It was good money. Then he started to take off time from Seder. Why? Because he needed to prepare for his comedy routine. So now he was missing Seder, and now he was missing night Seder. And then they told him, you know, Friday night, there's even more money. It's a very, very busy night in the comedy club. So now he wasn't doing anything. There was no Chilul Shabbos, but what was he doing? He was walking to the comedy club, and now he would present also on Friday night. After a little while, he was making a lot of money. They told him, you know, in Pennsylvania, this is why I spoke to my son, actually, on the way over here. I wanted to verify the story. I wanted him to remind me of the story. And I asked him whose name, and he said, in the name of Rabbi Lad, in Pennsylvania, there's a famous comedy club. I don't know. You could really make a lot of money, and it could help your career. So then he started to look for Heterim. How is it possible to travel on the train on Shabbos? He would start to go with Heterim until finally came to the point where, Rachman al-Litzan, he threw off Shemira Shabbos entirely. came to be Michal Shabbos, and he lost his path very sadly. But what's so interesting is that when Shmuel told me the story, not knowing what I'm preparing or not relevant, but you see the power of the leitz. Sometimes the leitz is even more powerful and more dangerous than the rasha and the chota, because a leitz thinks, what am I doing? I'm just making jokes. But ultimately, what was Yishmael doing? He was just mitzachek. He was just smiling. He was mechayech. What's so bad about giving a smile? When there's no internal joy, when there's no joy in Avodas Hashem, when there's no meaning, that leitzonis can become very, very dangerous. Ultimately, we end up mocking Talmidei Chachamim. We end up mocking Chas V'Shem Hashem's Torah. So let's go. Umasha Amar Ki'il Below Amar V'Soras Hashem Chav. So Lahor Uslanu Sha'al Yachshav Adam V'Itano Yitzro. A person should not think, and his Yitzar should not convince him. MS. It's true. Sorry, Adam Lizaher. A person needs to be careful. Shalom Yasa Kavai Malaitzi. We read this pasuk already. I shouldn't make my permanent place with the mockers. V'Lios Moshavai. I'm not going to have a seat with them. Dalo Tzari Chalom Torah. Don't you need to learn Torah? Aval mikol makom, however, ain sarich lihimana klal mehiskaber mecham. Do I really need to not be friends with them at all? I have to totally disassociate for them. V'tiyah datum oreves gami mehem leprakim. Isn't it true that sometimes I have to be the oreves means like a mixture? Okay? Sometimes I have to associate with these people, the Prakim, from time to time. Okay, I don't have to be their best friend, but to totally cut myself off from the Leitzim, is that so realistic? But when you think of a Leitz who perhaps spends their whole day or all their time mocking Gedolim, Chas V'Shalom, Talmidei Chachamim, Chas V'Shalom, if you think there are not such people, unfortunately there are blogs that are full of such people who spend time, who make it their life's mission to make a mockery of Torah. What's so bad if I have a little bit of association? What's so bad is that if you have a little bit of association, what are you going to end up coming to do? Having a seat with them. You're going to be the Ben Bayis. So Shmuel Golden has such a powerful, powerful insight into the journey of Lo. You know, Lo journeyed with Avraham Avinu. He was adopted by Avraham. How did he become so corrupt to the point where he said, take my daughters, but leave these men? How did he come to do that? How does a person become so schmutzfilled that his priorities are so skewed? Shmuel Golden has a piercing and is unlocking the Torah text, piercing var about Lo. The first time we meet Lo, vis-a-vis Sodom and Amorah, it's after Egypt. Avram and Lo split ways because they can't dwell together. There's not enough pasture, the flocks, they're fighting. Avram says, where do you want to go? If you go this way, I'll go this way. And the pasuk tells us that Lot chose Sodom. It's in Perikud Gimel. Avram yashav be'eretz Canaan, ve'lo yashav be'arei hakikar, in the cities of the plain, v'ya'ahal ad Sodom. It's Yod Gimel, Yod Beis. The next thing you're told is, v'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la'ashem od. The people of Sodom were ra'im, wicked, v'chata'im, sinners to Hashem very much. Both Rashi and Unklas say, wicked and sinful with their bodies and their money. They're bad people. Yet nevertheless, Lo chose to go there. But it's very strange, lashon, v'ya'ahal Ad Sodom. What does Ad Sodom mean? Where exactly was Lot? It means in Tol Sodom. He tented in Tol Sodom. What does that exactly mean? The next time we meet Lot in context of Sodom, it's by the war of the four kings and the five kings. In Perek Yudalev, the fugitive comes and he tells Avram HaIvri that his nephew was captured. Lot was captured. And the pasuk says about Lot, Lot was taken and all his possessions. He is the nephew of Avram. He was captured in war. V'hu yoshev b'Sodom. Beis Sodom. Now he's sitting where? In Sodom. The first time you meet him when he just chose Sodom, what does it say? V'ya'ahal ad. Which is a very, says Rav Golden, very strange lashon. Where exactly is Lot sitting? What does that mean? V'ya'ahal ad Sodom. He tented in Tol Sodom. What does that mean? I'm in Tol Sodom. I don't know what that means. I'm either in Toronto or I'm outside of Toronto. I'm either in the suburbs or I'm in the main part of the city. Where are you? Are you in Woodmere or Cedars? What do you mean you're ad? I don't know what ad means. The next time you meet him, who? Yoshev? B'Sodom. The third time you meet Lot, in juxtaposition to Sodom, is Perek Yud Tes, the beginning, when the Malachim come. Who remembers what it says about Lot? And what does Rashi say there? Hu Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. He's dwelling in the gates of the city. What does Rashi say? That day he was appointed. The gates of the olden days, this past summer, we were zocher to do some excavations. The gates of the city We're zocha to go to some excavation sites. We do not do excavations. Archaeological sites, excavated sites, archaeological sites, and the gates of the city. In the old days, it wasn't like cities today, were the most important point in the city. That's where the judges sat. That's where the guards looked out at the night. They would lock the gates of the city. When we finally meet Lo for the last time, it's Yud Tes Yud Aleph. Vayavo Shnei Hamalachim Stoma Be'er Velo Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. And Rashi is that day he was appointed, he becomes the chief court justice. Rashi's lashon is shofet al hashoftim. That means he is the Supreme Court. What happened to Lot, says Rav Golden? He was Avram's nephew. He knew about chesed, he knew about kindness. Avram did kindness with Lot in adopting him after his father died. He took him with on his journey, he didn't abandon him, he didn't say fend for yourself. He was persuaded and swayed by what he saw going on in Sodom. But he thought, says Rav Golden, I could just sit on the border. I'll take the good, but not associate with the bad. I know what real chesed is. They will not influence me. I'll just sit on the border. Can I never be with the lates? Isn't it have to that sometimes Dato Shadam or Revisim or Brios have to be nice and stop also? I should have some association with them. I'll go their simcha, but I won't be their best friend. Vayahal. Ad Sodom. The next time we meet him, who Yoshev Bistom. Now he moved in. And finally, he's the chief of the Supreme Court. Lot Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. Says of Golden, a person should never think he could tent on the border of evil and be unaffected. It's very frightening. The human nature is such. And if we associate with rishos, ultimately chalila v'chas, if you associate with rishos and leitzim and chatarim too many times, that's how David Melch begins his whole story of Tehillim. Be very careful with whom you associate. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying here. Ha-mema'et his-chabrus im-anash. Was he antisocial? The actor said he was very talkative, talking about the amount of words. And he had a richus yamim and shanim. He was very talkative. But you have to some degree, be aware of your social interaction and minimize your socialization, specifically with leitzim. Vichis, let's just finish the page, please. Okay? So you should think, sometimes I have to associate with them. I can't be so rude. Sometimes I have to have something to do with them. What was that? And it will help. If I associate with them, they won't mock me. They won't make me an object of their ridicule. And that's not true, by the way, because you know the people who speak Lashon Hara to you about other people, you can rest assured that they're talking Lashon Hara about you to others. So if someone mocks someone else to you, you should be aware that when you leave, they're probably mocking you to someone else. Don't think it'll help, but they will make a mockery of you. Your ruchnius is very important. Do not think you will be unaffected. By no means should you associate with them. Don't make a shitvus. Don't make a partnership. Your sole desire must be the Torah of God. And what they maligim is like a scoffer. And if they make a mockery of you, you should not let it bother you. Like the pasuk says, even though sinners mock me, zaydim, talk about the Zaydim, we just said Al Anisim this morning. Zaydim biad oskei Torasecha, the wanton sinners in the hands of those who are involved in Torah. You want to make sure, Zaydim helitsuni ad me'od, when the wanton sinners surrounded me and mocked me late. Zaydim is the sinners, or the sinners, how is it translated here? Sinners, yeah. Helitsuni ad me'od, from late, they mocked me very much. However, mi Torah chalon ratisi. We have to know our position, we have to know where we belong, we have to take a strong stance, and first and foremost, we have to protect ourselves from not associating with leitzim in the first place. Don't forget the lesson and message of Lot. Okay, exception to the rule. We have already seen one may not believe even his spouse or close confidants when they relate negative information about others. Unbelievable. You cannot believe. So we quoted Rav Naftali Weitz, and we saw it in here as well. You may vent to a close confidant or spouse, etc. It is not considered transgressing Lashon Hara to get things off your chest, said Rav Weitz. You have to make sure not to exaggerate. It's not hearsay. No harm will come to the other party, but it's, if you meet all the conditions, it's allowed. However, the receiver is not allowed to believe that information. At most, he may consider the possibility that this information is true. The Gemara states one exception to this rule is what? If the listener considers the speaker to be a man of unusual integrity, whose words are weighed very carefully. I could understand that. Doesn't matter if I could understand it or not, that's halacha, but I'm saying it makes sense. That's what I'm trying to say. Such a person can be trusted to relate an incident exactly as it happened. So you know this is a person of absolute integrity. It's an upstanding person in the community. You know they're, tzidkus. And if they say something, then generally you can accept it to be true. Such a person can be trusted to relate an incident exactly as it happened. To the extent that the listener can consider is if you witnessed it. And you can accept it as fact. Nevertheless, since the decision that the speaker is trustworthy is a personal one made by the listener, you could still not pass on the information for a constructive purpose. So there's still boundaries. You can't go and say, you know what, so-and-so, Mr. Reliable in the community told me. You could believe it, but you still cannot pass on the information. The Chafetz Chaim is of the opinion that today, no one can claim to have the degree of integrity necessary for his words to be accepted as fact. Chafetz Chaim claimed that today, no one can claim they have the degree of integrity necessary for your words to be considered as fact. It is forbidden to believe a negative statement on the basis of someone else's report. This is very important. So when a family member is coming to vent, so you can listen because al tatz dekarbe, don't brush them off, they're in pain, they need to vent, they need to say something, it is mutter, but you cannot believe it as fact and then start a whole vendetta against the other person. You certainly cannot repeat it even if the person telling the information is super reliable. One more. There are times when Allah accepts as fact, innocent is put in quotes, there are times when Allah accepts as fact innocent remarks, i.e. statements made in passing, without the speaker being aware of the consequence of his words. If you remember, I told you the story of Rav Elimelech Biederman that he tells over. The story of Rav Biederman that he tells over, that a couple got married. They were not of the highest intelligence, but they were happy and they made a home for themselves. And the father-in-law was traveling to see his kids. And he met so-and-so at the train station. And the so-and-so said to him, where are you going? And he said, oh, I'm going to see my children who live in the next town. And the traveler said, oh, that ignoramus? That was it. One statement. And the father-in-law the whole time, who did my daughter marry? My daughter married an ignoramus. My daughter married an Amma Arts. My daughter married such a imbecile. Eventually led to them getting a divorce. So Biederman says the most scariest part of the story is that the person who said, oh, that Amma Arts, doesn't even know the consequence of his words. He does not even know what happened. Him, that's what I'm trying to work on. It's very difficult. I'm saying people are mayors, but just not speaking extra. Because speaking extra sometimes leads to sin. Okay, so there are times when Allah accepts this fact, innocent remarks, statements made in passing, and the speaker is not even aware of the consequence of his words. As a rule, people do not lie unnecessarily as a rule. There are obviously exceptions. So that when a person does not realize he's saying something of significance, it can be assumed he's telling the truth. Allah grants such statements the status of testimony. Two instances. Quote, it is certain that ultimately the true story will be revealed to all. People do not fabricate tales when it's clear that their lies will be revealed as such. Although today, unfortunately, people do think they can get away with lying and it won't be revealed. But generally, yashar people, you don't fabricate tales because you don't want your lies to be revealed as such. And second of all, to establish an individual is no longer alive. Innocent negative statements are not granted any legitimacy, any such legitimacy there. Lashon hara, one is not permitted to believe them. I do not understand the last thing that he's saying. Did I not understand what I'm saying? No, let's go over this again. As a rule, people do not lie unnecessarily. So that when a person does not realize he's saying something of significance, it can be assumed he's telling the truth. If someone says something of significance, can be assumed he's telling the truth because people do not lie unnecessarily. Is that correct? Hopefully. Okay. Halacha grants such statements the status of testimony in two instances. So such statements, innocent statements, where you can assume a person is telling the truth because people don't lie unnecessarily. The two instances where you can believe it's true are one, to establish an individual is no longer alive. Now I understand that. Nobody goes around making a rumor that so-and-so passed away, unless there is credible, reliable, absolute information that Rahman al-Tsan, a person was nifter. That's case number one. Case number two, where it is certain that ultimately the true story will be revealed to all. So you have a piece of information, and you know that in an hour, everyone's going to know the truism of the story. So you're not making it up. You don't fabricate such tales because you don't want it being said in your name that you lied. You understand now? So in general, a person makes an innocent or passing remark, you don't know if it's absolutely true. You're not allowed to believe it. In two cases, there's an exception, and it's actually considered testimony to establish that a person has been nifter. Number two, if you absolutely know that the truth will, everybody's going to find out the truth. Okay? Innocent negative statements, however, are not granted any such legitimacy. Innocent negative statements are not granted legitimacy. So, for example, that's a perfect story. Innocent statements, that Am HaAretz, should not be granted any legitimacy. It ended up in the couple who was perfectly happy. They weren't the most intelligent people, but they were happily married. Ended up getting a divorce because of an innocent statement. Should not be granted legitimacy. That kind of statement is Lashon Hara, and one is not permitted to believe them. Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we should have continued Siyata D'Shmayim. It's very important. I think I may have asked him, we'll at least be able to say we tried. Please help us.